Lord. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, I desire this moment to be the one that you use to speak to these people. I ask that you give them ears to hear what the Spirit of life would say. And Father, that in receiving, we might be delivered into giving. So Father, just have your way among us, through us, in the children, Lord. I ask that you give them ears that they hear exactly what you say. That Father, we don't have to be adults, Lord, walking this earth. But Father, we do have to be living examples of those that walk this earth. So Father, with us, give them strength, give them encouragement, because it's in you we move, we breathe, and have our being. So Father, just have your way this morning. And they all said, amen. I'm going to talk about somebody that the Lord used many times. And in many times, what he did with them, he ended up, being honest with you, he ended up elevating him and then lowering the boom on him. And then used him in a great atmosphere to be a witness for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but God, I'm willing to let God lift me up, lower me down, and boom me to get me to a place to where I'll be loosened enough where I'll give praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. So today, the title of what I'm going to tell you is Whosoever. And I want to encourage you to know there might just be a few here by this eye, but according to the eye that created heaven and earth, whosoever is among us, every one of us have been whosoever. And that's found in Acts, the 2nd chapter, the 21st verse. And it says, because as Peter was telling him, he was expressing before him, I'm going to just kind of say this the way I see it. He was explaining to the people, these aren't men, as you may presume, that were drunk. They're not drunk on new wine. But he said, but they're of the Holy Ghost has come upon them. Now, I'm still waiting for the day for the Holy Ghost to come upon the whole church. Maybe that's why I try to come all the time. Because I don't want it to come when I'm not here. I want to be here when it happens. You know. The old saying is, we could be missing in action, but I'll be honest with you, I actually believe by the Holy Ghost that added action is inside of us. He dwells within hands, you know, the temple that's not made by hands. But anyway, and down here it says, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, and it says, and I will show you wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And he says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe there's never been a man or woman or child born that hasn't been called in this scripture whosoever. Otherwise, he's got a plan for you, and this is his plan. And then it goes back, that was in the second chapter, then again in the second chapter. And it's talking about that, he said, until, 35th verse, until I make my foes thy footstool, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom thou hast crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were pickled in their heart and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter, how many of you know by the reading of God's word, Peter was God's spokesman. It said, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, what I wanted to tell you is, back in Matthew, let's see, what was it? Matthew, I think it was, I'm going the wrong way. Right here it is. Where it begins that Jesus is starting to ask them, who do men say I am? And, you know, and they name all these names. And then finally he looked at Peter. He said, Peter, who do you say I am? And he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said back to him, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. Well, then the story goes on that, and it was very few verses that passed. And God's preparing him. Jesus is preparing him for his leaving this earth. And he's telling him how it's going to be. And finally, Peter speaks up and says, not so, Lord. You know when he said not so, he was coming against God? God got a plan. You don't think he's got a plan for his own son? What did Jesus say to Peter then? Get behind me, Satan. Lowered the boom on him. Get behind me, Satan, for you desire the things of man other than the desire of the things of God. There's some sitting here today that would deny how God works. That's actually what Peter was doing. Oh, that can't be. You know why? Because we look still with the seeing of his eye and the hearing of this ear. God wants us to go way beyond that. God's got a plan for us. Well, I want you to know this. Today, in this assembly, like I was started to say a while ago, we had a cloud of witnesses right here with us. Matter of fact, I would tell you, be careful that you don't take two seats because they're probably sitting in the chair next to you. Because I believe in whosoever believeth in me, though they be dead, yet they're alive. That's how God wants us to believe. Okay? And this is what I got to tell you. We are encompassed about such a cloud of witness that in our lives, we will have opportunities to be witnesses of God, greatness, of his love, of his mercies, of his ways, of his forgiveness, of his truth, and of his faithfulness. We're to be witnesses of all that. Now, I kind of take it that when God told us that they took him to the wilderness, this is the Old Testament, he took him to the wilderness, and he kept him out there 40 years, they didn't learn much. You know, they were being fed bread from heaven every day, bread of life every day, so they would be sustained. And the fire went before them at night, so they would be warmth and they would know that God is for them. But yet they complained. Well, I got some things wrote down here that are examples. Examples. One person asked you to pray. Oscar and me were kind of up here talking about that. I tell you, when one person asks you to pray and they do it in private, they're serious about their prayer. And when they ask you to pray, they're asking somebody that they finally believe they can trust. And they ask you to pray for a loved one. This is very personal to me because his sister had cancer and he wanted me to pray that God would heal her. And I started to pray and I stopped. And I said, wait a minute, I got to do things right order. When we pray for somebody, we need to make sure their soul's okay. God's numbers are soul, then the flesh. In 3 John, the first chapter, the second verse, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, as thy soul would prosper." It is my earnest desire when somebody asks me to pray for somebody, I tell them that because I want to tell you how I pray. I pray that their soul may prosper, and I command that their body to get in line with that soul. Because in God, that's how it works. I don't want to give them some fable. I want to tell them what works. Why? Because I've seen that work. I know it works. And I knew it worked before I ever seen it. God is faithful. He's wanting to do something in your life. And in 1 John 1, 7 through 9, "But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." When we come in here to fellowship, it's not just about coming and saying, "Well, we went to church." I want you to know God said, you're to be the church. Be the church. Raised up, elevated. Your voices sing praises to him and elevate him higher and higher and higher. There's no height that God can't be praised in. My example number 2 is the person asks, I was working 12-hour days. I got off at 7 o'clock in the morning. I had a guy come up to me before I clocked out. "Would you come back and pray?" Not pray, but "would you come back and attend my retirement luncheon?" I said, "What time's that?" He said, 11 o'clock, 4 hours late, 4 hours from now. And I go, "Well, yeah, I'll do that." So I come back to the luncheon, and it's getting ready to start, and the guy from, human resources, asked, "Well, do you want somebody to pray?" And I know you guys don't know this, but I thank God my mother wasn't a stranger to prayer. And I don't think her sons are either. But they asked this one guy, I was telling my class this morning, they asked people that they've heard a lot about Jesus from at work. "Well, won't you pray?" "Oh, no, I can't do that." And there's another guy over here. "Well, won't you pray?" Because they know they've talked a lot about Jesus. And I'm sitting there going like this, "Lord, is this why you brought me here?" And that guy goes, "No, I can't do that." And then the guy that I prayed for, his sister, said to the personnel man, "I know who will pray." And by the way, this guy wasn't a friend guy of personnel. They looked at him up and down. "You know who will pray?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "Who will pray?" He said, "Clyde will pray." And he goes, "Will you pray?" I said, "It'd be my honor." So I prayed for this man and his wife that the days of his life would be extended way beyond this company, that God had a plan for them both, and it was to prosper both of them and to give them health going out at 65, 66 years old. In case you don't know it, you still need your health. But anyway, by the time I got done praying, the husband and wife came over and hugged me, and they were crying, hugging me. And I can understand if you hug me why you cry. Well, anyway, but they were crying, and the personnel guy come up and says, "Clyde?" I go, "Yeah." "Don't think your prayers won't move people." He said to me, "You know God." And I looked at him, smiled. I said, "Yes, I do." The scripture says that if you'll be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. I don't want to ever be ashamed of God. It's by him Can we do anything? Do we have hope? Do we have an existence? But it's also by him that we have eternity. Well, anyway, this is what I know. The more you walk through an open door, the more God will cause the Holy Spirit to come upon you and give you the utterance of what is to be said when people ask you questions. Later on down the road, and I don't know how many years ago it was, or after this, the human resource man come up. We had a guy die down at work, and we were all at his funeral. He come up, "Can I speak to you?" I said, "Well, sure." He said, "Can we do it in private over here?" I said, "Well, sure." We go over there, and he says, "I got a problem." We should expect that, because the God in us has a solution to every problem. And I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "Well," he said, "I was at work one day, and my dad had been sick for a long, long time. And she come running out to the parking lot and said, 'Your wife's on the phone.'" He said, "Okay." He said, "So I already got it imagined, so I just take my time to go to the phone." And he said, "Because I feel like my wife's going to tell me my dad's dead." He said, they had an old Victorian up in Boston. And he goes like this, and he said, "That's where they lived." And she said, "Are you sitting down?" He goes, "Well, I know it's got to be about dad." She said, "No, that's why I'm asking you if you're sitting down. God has taken your mom. He's taken the one that cared for him." I said, "Okay, what's your problem?" He said, "Well, I need to take care of my dad. He's an alcoholic and he's driving my wife nuts." I said, "Oh, okay." And I'm thinking, what has it got to do with me? But you know, God will give you an answer when somebody cries from their heart, they need to take care of something. And I said, "Okay." I said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "Well, I want to put him in a home." I looked at him. I said, "Okay." He said, "I want to know if it's okay. You know, I'm not sure if people are ready to hear the answer of what that is. It's okay as long as you visit him every week. You're still his son. He's still your father. But it's not okay if you put him in there never visiting." He goes like this, "I'll do it." And he said, "I'll go 3 times a week. I said, "Well, leave that between you and God." But the thing is, God wants to do something in our lives that go beyond ourselves. I'll say this. I love it. My wife wrote back on the thing on the bulletin board that when our son passed away, that we thanked the church for, just honoring Josh. But in so honoring him, you honored us. That's how it's supposed to work. But she said, "In this life," and then she said, "and in the true life." See, if we look upon these eyes and this auditorium and we think that we see life, we don't see much of it. We might see, 15% of it. Years and years ago, somebody told me that the science believe we only use 15% of our mind, or was it 10? One of those. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me when I heard that. And he said, "Tell them, that's what I told you, tell them." Well, that's because we only use that much, but that's because God occupies the rest of it. But when we start thinking about God, we'll find out how much he's in there already. Wanting to do wondrous things. Science years ago said, there's got to be a God. And for science to say that, people think that's a lot of stuff. But I heard a guy ask the science, they said, "Well, how do you know that?" They said, "Because he's still creating all the cosmos, He's still creating, everything's still being created. I tell you that this day. God's still creating things. I pray a lot of times, people ask me to pray for the kids. I'm not sure. You want me to really pray for your kids? Because if I pray for them like I pray for mine, I pray for conviction. Because I want conviction in my life. I want people to have conviction to where they know that they know that they know. If it's this way, go that way. If it's not that way, don't go that way. In class, I haven't taught these kids yet, but when a policeman comes up to you and he tells you to stop, I tell you stop. As your teacher, as your friend, as your parent, as somebody that loves your soul, I tell you to stop. Because they could pull a gun out and stop you. I don't want that to ever happen. And if I look out here and I see, I could tell you another story about Josh was the last one to be baptized. Joey had already been baptized. And I was 31 years old. And I guess that was the same time God took Mom home. And I told Debbie, if I don't live another day, I said, it's okay because God's really blessed me. And then after I said that, I hadn't said that a few seconds, and God showed me. He said, boy, have I got a surprise for you. And you know what that surprise is? My grandsons. I seen God up there laughing. He said, you don't know what I have hold for you. But I like what Oscar says. What he holds for you, when you get it, hold it gently. Hold it like it's of great value. Because I want to tell you something. We hold people's lives in our hands. When we meet strangers that you don't know who they are, but I know God's already laid on your heart to pray for them before you meet them. Years ago, Debbie and me moved into a new neighborhood, and a neighbor knocked on the door. And I was working third shift, and she came up, woke me up. She said, the neighbor needs me to drive her to Indianapolis, I think. And I said, well, this is an opportunity to show her. You only get to show a person who you are one time. And then that one time, they know who you are pretty much all the time. So she got up and took her. And after that, I think they've become good friends. So she wanted to go yard sales and stuff like that with her and everything. But you know what? God knows how to break down doors. I would ask you and challenge you, don't build walls in your life. To your neighbor that you've never met, meet them. I love people. I love talking to people. And I'm finding out when I walk away, they come and find me, and they want to talk more. But I guess I'll close with this. Kurt's got a brother-in-law named Tim Ball, and he's married to Paula. Curtis's sister, Pauletta, and they're a great couple. And God blessed them with Tim, their son, and he's married. He's got two kids now, Kurt? Yeah. Well, anyway, Tim and Pauletta and us lived in kind of the same complex. They lived up front. We lived in the back. And I was at a board meeting, and they have a board, and I have a board, and we got a board back there. But I know most of his board members. And Tim come up to me and said, hey, Clyde. I go, yeah. He said, our board up here has been talking about you. I go, oh, man, what have I done now? And, I mean, you know, because you don't know them real well. They liable to say anything. And I said, oh, okay. He said, well, from what they've been telling me, you could run for mayor in the back and get elected. Well, when you meet people with garbage cans and stuff like that and out and you see they need help changing a light bulb and stuff like that, and you look for stuff to do with them just so you can do it for them. Kurt, I'm going to go back to my old saying, you get to. You know, not that you have to, but you get to. And I took that get to attitude, and I don't know how many bulbs I've changed, but I've changed a lot of bulbs over the years. And I've only had one person in all the years I've changed bulbs in. They said, well, are you done? And I said, you didn't give me a bulb. Well, don't you supply that? And I said, no, I don't supply that. Anyway, but Tim told me, because of his work shifts and stuff like that, that he's been up there, I want to say 20 years, but I probably longer than that. Anyway, he said, I probably only know about 3 or 4 people. He said, how many of you know? I'm starting to count, and I'm not wanting him to feel bad. I said, 70 or 80? And I'm pretty well keeping that low. But I think God wants us, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But we want to walk in the witness of Jesus Christ being Lord of our life. I told a class this morning, do you know when you say something about God, people listen to you? You know what they do immediately after listening to you? They watch you. And they watch you. You don't know they're watching you. Sometimes they'll be around the corner and they'll watch you. I say, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for what you say is what you walk. They're wanting to see if you walk what you talk. And you know what? If we're witnesses of Christ, we don't have to worry about who's watching us. Because God has blessed us so much. And we're set in this world. In this world, we're not of it. But I want to tell you something. Let's bless the people in it and show them mercy beyond compare. Mercy and mercy and mercy. I love the mercy of God because he's been so merciful. We need to walk in mercy and tenderness. If you walk in the light as he's in the light, then we'll have fellowship with one another. And the Son of God who shed his blood will be seen. Amen? Amen. Did I put the rest of you to sleep? Amen? Woke them up. Anyway, so Father, we just ask, Lord, that you have your way, Lord, in our lives from day to day. Lord, you know what we think about the rain? We believe that we have the rain because you knew we needed it and we'll need it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But Father, I pray, Lord, where there is no rain, that the rain of Jesus Christ come in to the fullness that he's supposed to be, Lord. Have your way, have your way, have your way. God reigns supreme, Lord, and we'll give you all the glory, all the praise, that, Lord, you are entitled to it all. In Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. If you need prayer, want prayer, you can get prayer. Come forward. If not, you have a great week.